Tantar Radio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Out of Play by Avon Ellis, narrated by Elise Arsenault. Prologue, 13 December. Oaks Park, Surrey, UK. Inside the chairman's suite. Stonebridge United versus Manchester.
Why can't I stop thinking about Declan Oaks? No, I'm not thinking about Declan Oaks. I'm not thinking about the absolutely gorgeous 25-year-old billionaire chairman of Stonebridge United Football Club. I'm not thinking about how young and successful and smart he is. I'm not thinking about how I'm actually in his suite right now, thanks to the friends I've made at my graduate internship at Connected Media Enterprises. I'm not thinking about how I can't believe I'm in this world, in this suite, and two of my friends are dating two of his friends. No, I'm thinking about how I sneezed a fake eyelash onto his very expensive dress shirt, nonchalantly plucked it off, left said expensive shirt with a streak of shimmery brown Fenty eyeshadow, and then excused myself to go put on another set of eyelashes. I take another sip from my glass of water. If I weren't such a lightweight, I'd drink another Bloody Mary to forget that whole sequence of events ever happened. I glance outside to the box where my friend Aoife and her boyfriend Jack are sitting and cheering on Stonebridge United. But my eyes don't rest on them. They go straight back to Declan. Oh, Declan, Declan, Declan. He's intently watching the game. Well, that's the script I'm writing, as the only thing I can see is the back of his head. His head with wild, out-of-control golden waves. Beautiful, out-of-control hair that begs to be clenched during a steamy kiss. Sigh. It's a shame I'm not his type. Oh, irony. I've been telling my friends I don't like blondes. Well, that was the truth. Until I spotted Declan at a Christmas party last week. In another twist of fate, my friend Lauren was hosting a party with her boyfriend Oliver. I was invited, along with Aoife. She had not gotten back together with Jack at this point, and we were both attending as single women. I remember where I was the moment it happened. I was standing at the Christmas tree, joking about decorations whilst drinking a cranberry martini, and I happened to let my eyes wander around the room. And then I saw him. Declan was in Oliver's kitchen, and I literally felt my breath catch in my throat when I laid eyes on him. Butterflies appeared out of nowhere, which was a shocking plot twist, because that has never happened to me before. I have never seen a more beautiful specimen of male fitness in my life. Declan was tall, at least 6'5". The wild hair, the fine clothing that was impeccably tailored to his athletic frame. I couldn't take my eyes off him, another new-to-me feeling. I took in everything about him, from the way his crisp white dress shirt hugged his broad shoulders and chest to the massive, oversized platinum watch on his right wrist, letting me know he was left-handed. Then I saw him smile. And I swear I was done for. His smile was sheer perfection, lighting up his whole face. Apologies to billionaire businessman William Cumberland, who had owned my top spot of male perfection for years, but Declan Oaks knocked him off in one fell swoop. Then, reality happened. I saw the way he looked at Aoife. Declan was into her. And that was the end of my fantasy about Declan Oaks. Now, of course, Aoife is with Jack, but the moment I saw Declan talk to her and the interest that I could see from across the room, well, that was that. Declan was a beautiful fantasy, no different to the one I'd joked about having for William Cumberland with my friends at ConnectU. The internship program I'm participating in London with William's company. Aoife is the kind of woman Declan likes. and I understand that. But I'm very different from Aoife. Whereas she has long, wavy, blondish-brown hair that looks like it came straight from a shampoo ad, I have highlighted brown hair that is cut into a longer bob, honey brown eyes, and a splattering of freckles across my nose and cheeks. Also, add in the fact that Declan's the chairman of a Premier League team and a billionaire. Yes, I'm sure he's dying to get to know the woman who sneezed an eyelash onto his shirt. So sorry, that took much longer than I thought, Callista says, returning to the table she has been sitting with me at for most of the game. I got carried away talking to our director of communications. I smile, despite the fact my day has had the mortification of sneezing all over Declan. Something good did come out of attending the match with Jack and Aoife. I met Declan's younger sister, Callista. She's 22 and has so many of the same features that Declan has. Blonde hair, the ice blue eyes that are fringed by long lashes. She works in finance for Stonebridge United, and we immediately hit it off when we were introduced earlier today. We talked about being women working in that field, what it was like to grow up being girls who loved maths. We realised we have a lot of other things in common too, even though we grew up differently. Callista was born into one of the wealthiest families in England, attended posh private schools, and went to America to attend Princeton. On the other hand, I was born in Birmingham and didn't even leave home to go to uni, having earned my degree from the University of Birmingham. We both like to go out dancing, and we're always up for Nando's. Callista loves to spend hours in Space NK, the beauty shop, and that led us to talking about cosmetics and perfumes and a mutual obsession with perfecting makeup techniques. Neither one of us can cook, but we both know the best takeaway near our flats. I glance at her as she takes a seat across from me. No problem. I entertained myself, I say, smiling at her. I edit out the bit about the entertainment being in the form of thinking about her older brother instead of watching the match being played out on the pitch. I do hope to keep her as a new friend and not scare her off after all. This time went by so fast, didn't it? Callista says, glancing at the match on the video screen on the wall. The game is nearly over. Yes, and I'm sorry I talked your ear off, I say, grinning. I know you probably wanted to watch at least some of the match. She waves a dismissive hand in the air. If I wanted to watch it, I would have. Trust me, I'm not fond of doing anything I don't want to do. Ask my brothers. I wonder if Declan has that trait as well. Shut up, Nick. You are not thinking about Declan, who prefers leggy, beautiful blondes who, if they are not Aoife, probably look like supermodels. I'm in London quite a bit, Callista says, interrupting my thoughts. Would you like to meet up sometime for coffee? Or better yet, some cake and coffee. Have you ever been to the Biscuit Cutter in Belgravia? They have the scrummiest cakes and pastries. I instantly recognise the name of the shop. That is where the girlfriend of Prince Alexander works. Okay, so dishing weekly is a horrible rag, but sometimes it does provide useful information. You know, like where Poppy Davies, our future queen, is employed. I have never been, but if you were throwing in cake with a cup of coffee, I'm in, I say, smiling at Callista. Excellent. Let me connect with you on connectivity, she says, swiping open a phone. Nicole Walker, I say as she opens the app. Whilst she is doing that, I tap on my phone so I can accept a request when it comes through. Ah, found you, Callista says, tapping on a phone again. A large cheer goes up inside the suite, and both of us turn our attention to the large TV screen. One of the Stonebridge United players is running towards the goal with the football. Callista leaps to her feet, screaming. "Come on, Darby!" she yells. I rise so I can see. I don't know anything about football, except that the star player for this team is Camden Tremblay, who is the boyfriend of Princess Isabella of York. I should be alarmed that Dishing Weekly has provided me with so much useful knowledge for today. I make a note to subscribe to a legitimate online newspaper when I get home. I need to balance my celebrity news junk food diet with something good for my brain. This Derby player takes his shot, and boom, the ball hits the back of the net and the entire stadium erupts into cheers. Callista turns around and high-fives me, and everyone in the suite is cheering too. Darby runs and does that slide thing across the grass, his arms outstretched, and the stadium goes absolutely wild. Now, everyone is on their feet. I continue to pay attention to the game with Callista, and we watch as the clock goes to full time. The match is over, ending in a thrilling win for Stonebridge United. As soon as it's done, Callista's phone buzzes on the table and she picks it up. After she reads a message, she looks up at me. I need to run. Mum wants to talk to me. Apparently, I shirked my duties in the family box. I'm so sorry. I feel as if I've taken up most of your day, I say. No, I'm joking. I'm so glad I was able to connect with you, Nicole, Callista says, smiling brightly at me. I'll be in touch with you soon to make plans to meet up. I promise it will involve cake. Oh, you chuckle. Oh, you was already looking forward to it, but now I really am. Callista leaves, and people begin moving around the suite. Some are getting another drink to celebrate the win. Others are leaving. I watch as Callista heads to the box, where the Ox family is gathered, and expect to see Jack and Aoife walking inside to meet me. But instead, I see Callista pass Declan, who is on his way into the suite. My heart does a loop-the-loop inside my chest. God, the man is beautiful. He's in a navy suit with a luxurious navy cashmere coat thrown over the top. Pure GQ magazine-level gorgeous. Declan pauses and lowers his head to say something to Callista. Then she nods and continues outside. I watch, expecting him to make the rounds against all the high-profile guests who are celebrating the win in his suite. He stops as soon as he steps inside, scanning the room. Then his eyes land on me. My stomach flips. Why is it flipping? My stomach doesn't do crap like this. Whatever. This is irrelevant. I reach into my bag of tricks to appear calm and collected. Or bored, even. Which means whipping out my compacts and my Victoria Beckham lipstick and carefully applying it as if this is the most interesting thing going on inside this suite. I hate looking like a fool. I hate when I do something stupid and embarrass myself. But I found the best defense is to act like nothing bothers me. First, it's like creating a magical force field around myself where nobody can detect what I'm thinking or feeling. Second, it can sometimes disarm people. Like it did with Declan when I casually plucked my eyelash off his chest. He looked like he couldn't believe what I was doing. Which makes sense because I couldn't believe what I was doing either. But my gift of being able to act cool and like I don't care, and that I especially didn't care that I sneezed on Declan Ox, worked magnificently. I walked away, and by the time I came back, he was gone. Situation resolved. And I'm completely ignoring the fact that I was a little bit disappointed to find him gone when I should have been relieved. Regardless, it's irrelevant. I need to stay out of the irrelevant portion of my brain and focus on reality. which is applying my lipstick and waiting for Jack and Aoife to come inside so we can go back to London. I'm continuing to slowly work on my lips when I feel someone approaching. I do a casual glance up. It's not simply someone approaching me. It's Declan. I quickly put the lipstick down before I accidentally draw it across my face in nervousness. I twist down the tube, put on the cap, and drop it back into my bag. Then I shift my eyes back to the safety of my compact to make sure my eyelashes are completely glued on.
Have the caterpillars behaved this afternoon?
That rich, deep voice asks me, rolling across the space between us and sending goosebumps rippling across my skin. I snap my compact closed to find Declan standing right in front of me. I continue to reach into my bag of tricks to show I couldn't care less. I smile confidently at him, although inside my brain is screaming, "Why are you talking to me?"
"You tell me,"
I say, fluttering my eyelashes at him in a move of faux confidence.
"I see two." "Nice," he says, his voice low.
I drop my compact into my bag and zip it shut. I didn't intend to make the same mistake twice. Like I do not intend to fancy you in any way, shape, or form, because that is just idiotic. I might as well declare myself beholden to the married to the love of his life, William Cumberland, because the odds of that happening are greater than the young, fit billionaire chairman of Stonebridge United ever looking my way.
"You don't like mistakes, do you?" he asks suddenly.
Now my heart is playing a game of pinball inside my chest. Ding, ding, ding. How does he know that about me?
"No, I don't," I say, my eyes meeting his.
"I can remember the tiniest mistake, even from years and years ago, and relive it perfectly in my head." His ice blue eyes study me with interest through those lush, long black eyelashes of his. I feel my breath catch again as he searches my eyes. But for what? I don't know.
"Tell me one."
"What?" I ask, wrinkling my nose.
"Tell me a mistake that haunts you."
"Mr. Chairman, how on earth can this be a conversation you want to engage in?" I ask, mystified by the enigma of the man standing before me.
"Ms. Walker, that is because it's real."
"What?"
"I'll tell you one of mine if you tell me one of yours,"
Declan continues, before I can even wrap my head around what he just said.
"But I asked you first."
Enigma indeed. A gorgeous enigma. I clear my throat and remember that I don't care. "All right. When I was at uni, I was desperate for a wee one day. I saw a sign for the loo and dashed inside, hurrying into the first cubicle. Then I heard men's voices. Two of them. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to be attacked. What are men doing in the ladies' loo?" Then it happens. I stop speaking as I see it. Declan's lush, full lips curve upwards in a smile. God, he's beautiful when he smiles.
"And?"
he prompts, snapping me out of my state of staring. "And then I could hear them peeing against the wall. And I knew I was in the men's loo, and I prayed they would leave so I could escape. Unfortunately, more men came in, and I was running late for my lecture, so I just had to act like this was all planned. I exited the cubicle, said good morning to all of them as they stared at me in shock. Took time to slowly wash my hands to show how utterly normal it was, and then I left. Something else happens. Declan's eyes. Are they? No, they can't be.
but they almost seem like they are shining at me in a combination of amusement and approval. A low chuckle escapes his throat. If that's the best you have, I'm disappointed. Disappointed? How can you be disappointed? I was in the men's loo. That's not exactly the world's worst mistake. You're right. Sneezing a caterpillar onto your shirt was probably worse. Not at all. I was intrigued to learn that you have eyelash caterpillars. Thump, thump, ding. More rounds of heart-pounding pinball are being played in my chest. I can raise you with one story. It's recent, too. Happened last week, Declan says. Go on. I was at a party, he says, his eyes locking on mine. And there was this gorgeous woman there. I wrinkle my nose. I don't know if I want to hear about his mess-up with some fantastic blonde. I mean, not that I have a chance with Declan, but that doesn't mean I want to think about him pining away over some other woman. I had set my sights on someone else first, and I didn't see this other woman until later, Declan says slowly. Then, when I was introduced to her, she didn't seem too interested in me, but like she would rather be drinking her cranberry martini instead. Wait, what? I had a cranberry martini last week, at Oliver's party. Oh my God. No, no way. This, what he's saying, no, this can't be right. She was wearing this silver dress, Declan continues, his voice now a low rumble between us. I swear I can feel it vibrating through me as we're standing so close together. And she was magnificent. But she said hello and dashed off before I could get more than her name. Challenge him, I think. Perhaps she didn't want to be anyone's second choice, I say, even though I had no idea I was ever a choice and Declan said in the first place. His gaze never wavers. She never was. I didn't even know she was there. But if I had seen her first, if I had spoken to her first, there wouldn't have been any other woman in that room. My lips part in complete shock. If my heart was pounding before, it's practically exploding in my chest now. Could this be some rich billionaire feeding me line? That I would have been his object of interest if he had seen me first that night? I mean, that sounds crazy, right? This has to be a load of crap he's giving me. No, my gut whispers as I stare up at him. It's not. Yet, sometimes fate has a way of turning things around, Declan says slowly, tracing his index finger across the marble tabletop. I'll just have to see what this magnificent woman thinks about that. What? I ask, confused. What do you mean? You'll know what I mean, but not now. I have things I need to do first. My head is spinning. Is he playing a game? And I'm not playing games, if that is what you are thinking. I don't play games, ever. You're not being serious, Declan. You weren't interested in me at that party. You were interested in Aoife. And you're surely not interested in me now. He pauses for a moment. I see. What do you see? Why are you such an enigma? I blurt out. Now, a huge grin spreads across his face. You think I'm an enigma? Yes, I do, I say, lifting an eyebrow. I rather like that. I feel like I have a code name or something now. What is even happening here? Don't change the subject. You're not interested in me. Wrong. I'm very interested. But apparently, I'm going to have to prove that to you. Which I will do, he says in a tone that tells me he means it. Good night, Nicole. And to my surprise, Declan turns around and walks away.
Chapter 1. It's a good thing I love Aoife as much as I do, I think, or else I'd have never agreed to let her have the flat to herself in London this entire festive weekend. She and Jack are having their very own Christmas for two. Well, at least until I return on Sunday night. Today is Boxing Day, which has fallen on a Friday, and I told her I was happy to stay at home in Birmingham for the weekend to give them some privacy. But as I glance around the living room, I'm seriously rethinking my kindness. Because my own family is about to absolutely drive me mad. It's the middle of the afternoon, and the TV is blaring with the old film Singing in the Rain, and as nobody is watching it, I have no idea why it's even on. Well, Grandpa says he's watching it, but it's even put him to sleep in the recliner chair. Unfortunately, he has the remote in a death grip, and I've learnt from experience one should never remove it unless you want to be accidentally whacked in the face with the remote when he jerks awake and tries to wrestle it back. Mum is in the kitchen making some mash-up lunch from Christmas dinner leftovers because she got ideas from her current issue of BBC Good Food, which is a terrifying prospect if I ever heard one. She is a terrible cook. My younger sister Ava dipped out hours ago to go Boxing Day sale shopping with her boyfriend George. She begged me to go along, but whenever I'm with her and George, I feel like a complete third wheel. So I said no. I mean, I went out with Jack and Aoife once, but they are so nice that they make me feel as if I'm not a third wheel, but a fun friend coming along. My sister, on the other hand, doesn't do anything except make out with George in front of me. So yes, I'm about as third wheel as you can get. It's also weird because George rarely talks. Like, I try to engage him and I get one-word answers and he looks like he's praying I won't ask him another one. I think he thinks I'm strange. Ava is a bit on the quiet side, and I'm anything but, so I think George is perplexed by my wanting to talk to him. I've actually given up, as a matter of fact. Except yesterday, I did ask for him to pass the gravy to me during dinner. Hopefully he has lived through that unscathed. So Mum is making something that smells hideous, Grandpa is snoring, Ava is out shopping, Dad is arguing with strangers on Twitter about politics, muttering to himself as he does, and Singing in the Rain is screaming at me from the TV. I glance out the window. Outside, it's grey. Snowflakes are beginning to swirl in the wind, and it's so cold in this house that even my nose is chilly. It's so glum. I glance down at my laptop, where my form of entertainment is about to start. If anyone knew this is what I'm going to do for the afternoon, I would die. I adjust my AirPods and go to the website I want. Within seconds, a specific fixture comes across my screen. Stonebridge United versus Leeds. I anxiously brush a lock of hair behind my ear. I feel ridiculous about this new interest of mine. I don't care about football. If I'm bored, I'll watch someone apply makeup on YouTube. I can do that for hours and never get bored. Or I'll take the dog for a walk. Jax is good company, after all, even if the weather is rubbish. But I'm watching it for one single reason. I might get to see Declan. As soon as that sentence rolls through my head, I hate myself for it. I'm watching a football match for the 2.5 seconds they might show Declan sitting in his box. I cringe. Is this what my life has come to? Watching football matches for glimpses of a man who said he was interested and then completely ghosted me? I swallow hard.
Declan made that declaration to me on 13 December. Today is 26 December. I haven't heard a single word from the chairman since that day in his suite. But he seemed so...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?